This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios,
here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Welcome to another edition of Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Mike Herzing and Matt Perrault back with you for another week of talking all things automotive. Our news and notes segment coming up, reviews, and an interview with our good friend Jim Morrison from Jeep. Mr. Herzing, Mike, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. It's been a great day. And weather's actually nice. And, you know, hey, can't beat it.
No, it's a good day, good time to talk some cars. We've got another automotive recall to get into here a little bit. You've got a review, and I think you got a little bone to pick. You know, you aren't a fan of keys, huh? You're done with keys?
No, I've got this GMC Canyon. I really like the truck. They've done a lot on it. It's a really nice truck, but it still has an ignition key. And I know I'm spoiled, but $43,000, it ought to have a key fob.
I would agree with that. I can't. The only time I've ever had in the last 2 years of doing reviews, I think a Toyota 4Runner is the only time I've had an actual key.
I think even the Nissan Frontier didn't have a key. Yeah, I think it had a key fob already too. So yeah, there's some. They need to get off their butt because there's so many nice things about the truck that just awesome. So we'll talk about that on my review.
Okay, very cool. So we'll have that review. I'm reviewing a Hyundai Palisades that they've done a lot with. They have really souped this thing up, and my gosh, it is nice.
it really is.
The third row is a real third row. I love all the power seat functions that it's got on it, the captain's chairs. I'm very, very impressed with this SUV. It's a very nice, very nice ride. So I'll have a review for that coming up during our automotive reviews. And Jim Morrison, big week for Jeep and rolling out new products, huh?
All new Grand Cherokee. I mean, from front to the back, I mean, a new platform, frame, everything. It's all new. It's really nice.
How will that sell?
Oh, like crazy. I mean, like unbelievable. I mean, it's the third row. Now, they're still going to sell the two-row version. But they'll have a three-row version also. It's just going to be awesome. It's just going to be great.
With the same capability of a Grand Cherokee, a third row, it's pretty cool. That's very, very cool. So that's going to be something that we're going to look forward to hearing from Mr. Jim Morrison from Jeep with our interview. Mike's got a conversation coming up with him here a little bit later on. Don't move. We've got a lot more to come. It's time for our news and notes segment. Take a look at everything that's happening around the automotive world. When Mike and I come back right here, it's Let's Talk Wheels on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
Listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. Here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
It's time for the news and notes segment here on Let's Talk Wheels on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Mike Herzing and Matt Perrault. Okay, Mike, let's start talking a bit about microchips. I know we talked a bit about this last week with some shortages, minerals, and what's happening, but this is getting a little bit more significant, is it not?
Yeah, it's getting worse. And as a matter of fact, Audi had to furlough 10,000 people for a few days just because they ran out of chips. And Ford's going to have to idle the Louisville assembly plant where they build next week due to the parts shortage for semiconductors. And that's where they build the Ford Escape, which is their number one seller besides the truck, of course. And then the Lincoln Corsair, that's going to be a big deal. That's going to send home 3,900 workers. It's crazy, Matt. I mean, it's all this because, we can't keep up with production of semiconductors.
Do you think there's something that can be done here, or is it just mining more, or is it productivity? Is it because we're in the pandemic and supply chains are all messed up? I mean, is there something that can be done, or are we kind of just at the mercy here of what's happening across the world?
I think we got to ramp up. I mean, a lot of times when the manufacturing, don't forget for a while, the manufacturing here in the U.S. and actually worldwide was cut 100% done. We weren't building anything, but that also means we weren't building computer chips, microchips. But also think of how much electronic we've got. Everybody's got a phone now. Everybody's got this. It's that. This thing goes in drones. It goes in phones. It goes in, everything, headsets. I mean, there's nothing, but a car probably have 40 or 50 or 60 of them, I'll take that back. Maybe 100 of them. It's just, they're everywhere. Oh, okay. I mean, they've got, some of these cars have like 60 different control units. I don't know how many processors, how many microchips they have in each one. But Fiat Chrysler is going to have to delay the restart of its plant in Mexico, where they build the Jeep Compass. And they're going to set scheduled downtime at the Ontario, Brampton, Ontario plant, which builds the Chrysler 300, the Charger, and the Challenger. Toyota's having to cut down the production of the Texas Tundra right here in Texas by 40%. General Motors is having problems. Honda, Nissan, name it, everybody. Yeah, they're all running out of chips.
Well, that's definitely something we got to monitor. Make sure we get productivity up to keep these vehicles coming off the assembly lines to get to the plants and be able to be built and then get to the dealerships to be able to be purchased. I actually, Mike, you and I didn't actually talk about this, but I wanted to bring this up and I forgot to mention to you, but I think you can do it on the fly here.
Sure.
So Stellantis is becoming a reality this week, right?
Right, it is. It's done.
Explain what Stellantis is and how much are they going to have to, how much marketing do you think they're going to have to do? So when I say Stellantis, people aren't going, who?
I remember we had trouble saying FCA, Fiat Chrysler. But it's going to be, you know, there's going to be 14 different brands. You know, it's Opel, Vauxhall, Peugeot, and Citroën and all these brands, along with, you know, all the Fiat Chrysler brands and, you know, Maserati. And it's just going to be a big group. It's going to be the fourth largest group out there. You know, I think Volkswagen is first and Toyota second. And then I think it might be GM. And then after that, it'll be these guys. And so it'll be rocking. It's good. With the event of electric cars, we're going to have to do something. You know, everybody has the R&D that for doing electric cars is so darn expensive, in the multi-billions of dollars, that when you have one manufacturer, one group, they can afford it more than one manufacturer. There's no way one manufacturer can afford to do the research and things like that on all these electric cars. But, you know, then there's more chips that are going to be needed. You know, think about that. And part of the problem is the chips are Chinese. So yeah. Most of them are traditionally Chinese and Asian. So, you know, maybe this will get everybody off their butt and start building these things in the U.S. or at least North America.
Well, Mike Manley is going to be the head of the Americas.
Right.
So that's North America and South America, right? So he's right. The one you can control basically on this side. And then we've got regional operators and we've got, you know, the American brands, with Jim Morrison and Mike Koval. Are we expecting any changes to FCA, or is this just going to be seamless in terms of like just joining up with another, you know, global company? Are we going to have an impact, I guess I should say? Is there going to be a change from a consumer standpoint?
I think in the next couple of years, we'll probably see Peugeot here in the U.S., which is back in the U.S. where it was.
But the last time Peugeot was sold in the United States?
I don't know. Probably 20 years, 30 years ago.
When I was growing up, they were everywhere.
Yeah.
80, we were seeing Peugeots everywhere.
Right. And Citroën, and you may see those, but also it's going to mean that all of these companies can now advance everything. Jim was talking about, you know, the new hybrid Grand Cherokee and then the new fully electric Grand Cherokee and all these things coming out, you know, and so they've got to have, you know, places to produce these things. They've got to have the technology and all stuff, and having a bigger group. Okay. That means everybody has to pay a little bit less, and also they can share technology. And that's the big deal. Being able to develop something and then use it on 14 different brands. That's where it is. Right. And hopefully they'll get some of the designers that, you know, helped like in the Citroën and those kind of guys will start getting some of the Maserati. You know, Maseratis are really beautiful and Alfa Romeos. And oh my God. And even Ferrari, but that Ferrari kind of spun off a little bit, but all that stuff, just think about that. How it's going to make some of those other vehicles look so much better. You know what I mean?
Have you heard anything about sales for Alfa Romeo? I mean, they're everywhere in Vegas right now. I don't know if it's just anecdotally because Vegas is a luxury brand type of market. So people tend to, you know, the executives want to drive unique vehicles. They all don't want to drive Mercedes. They all don't want to drive Audis. So I think we see, you know, that's why I think it's a big reason why we saw so much Tesla sales here in Vegas. It wasn't just electric vehicles. It was a prestige factor that you had a unique vehicle that stood out, if you will. And now I'm seeing Alfa Romeos everywhere.
Right.
Is that unique to Vegas, or is that around the country we're seeing more sales on
I think that's kind of unique to Vegas. I don't know that, you know, LA, Vegas, you know, New York, you know, Miami, those kind of places where you where it's a prestige thing. Yeah. And they are great vehicles. I don't know that they hold up all that well, but they're really a good looking vehicle, driving. I know. They're just awesome.
That was the most fun at the Texas when we were there doing the rodeo. The last time we had the Texas rodeo, and I was driving, first time driving an Alfa Romeo SUV, I was just like, "You kidding me? Like, this thing is a rocket ship!" It's fun to drive.
It was really fun to drive. But you know, it's just one of those things. And I think they'll develop a little bit more. But the problem is they don't have enough models to have one dealership standing alone. Right. So you end up with a dealership selling all these different brands, and I don't know that that works as well.
No, I would agree with that. Yeah, I mean, we have the only unique stuff we have. I mean, there's a dealership here I've talked about before where it's called Jeep only, and all they sell is Jeeps.
That's awesome. Well, they're trying to do that. That you're going to see more and more of that, because I hear Jeep is trying to get them to spin off, because now that they'll have the Wagoneer and the Grand Wagoneer, the Grand Cherokee, both the different, you know, the L and the regular one, they'll have, you know, the Compass. You've got all, you know, you've got the Wrangler, you've got all the different, you have pretty much of a round, and you got the Gladiator. So you have pretty much a really good lineup, that enough to really fill a dealership. It isn't like a Jeep is like one vehicle. It's a whole line right now, and it's only going to get bigger.
It's incredible. It really is. It's wild to watch. I mean, the one thing that's been fun here in Vegas is watching how just the Gladiator has become. It's no longer, it doesn't stand out anymore. I don't mean in a bad thing. I mean, it's so prevalent that you see it everywhere. That's just like, it's part of it now, because they've sold so well here. It's just like,
they're everywhere, everywhere. It's like a Ram truck, you know, you used to see them. Oh, they were there. Now every other vehicle you see is a Ram truck. But you know, the trick about the Gladiator and some of the other vehicles, it just, you know, the Jeep brand loyalty is the best in the industry.
Right.
There is no more loyal customers than a Jeep customer. And they've earned it, and they're keeping earning it, and they're actually earning it better than ever before. Man, Jeeps used to be not all that good a vehicle. When AMC owned them and stuff like that, they were neat and unique. But as far as a real quality vehicle, no. But now they've made leaps and bounds. And so it's with this new technology, with the bigger company, they're going to actually be able to continue that and even do better.
So the invention, the creation of Stellantis is a good thing in your mind for Jeep.
Yeah, it's going to be fine. And they had to do something. FCA had to do something to catch up with the electrifying and emissions and all that stuff. But also, you know, I just read something today about how Jeeps are selling in China. I mean, in Japan very well. And that's a market GM walked out of, and Ford walked out of the Japanese market. And Jeep is doing very well. And their sales are increasing every year for the Wrangler and the Compass and stuff. And I think that's just very cool.
No, I think it's incredible. And I mean, you know, look, we know about the Jeep wave and the two finger wave. We know about the fact that people are, you know, if you have Jeeps, you tend to buy other Jeeps and more Jeeps, and you just at that part. But now I love the fact that they're bringing in, you know, the higher end customer as well. So it's not just somebody who wants to spend 60 grand on a Jeep that can go off roading or they trick it out like crazy. Yeah, fine. Those people exist. But now if you want a more luxurious ride, they're giving you the opportunity to have these things. And I can't wait to see the Grand Wagoneer. I just can't wait to see that.
We'll see
Cherokee.
They abandoned that market a little bit and gave it to Land Rover. Okay. Right. And so now they're going to take it back from Land Rover.
It's smart. And especially because how expensive these vehicles are, and trucks are 100K. So, I mean, it's not crazy to get into that, because people want to do both. You know, that they're willing to take their 100 grand vehicle off-roading, or at least have the capability.
Absolutely. Well, if I have my family out in some vehicle and I get a luxury vehicle, do I want one that's just going to be, you know, that just, how would you like to be able to do something that can ford like 2.5 feet of water? The Grand Cherokee, you go in 2 feet of water, doesn't hurt a thing.
Incredible.
Okay. There's not many vehicles besides a Wrangler that could do that.
And just a safety feature, right? I mean, fun, for like practicality in Houston, if you guys can flood, like, how do I get my family out of this area? Well, I want my vehicle to be able to take care of that in case I need it.
You have those rains in Vegas too, where it just rains like crazy. And to have somebody to have your wife and child, or even you guys in a vehicle that can go through a lot of water, and it's a no-brainer.
All right, coming up next, we have our automotive review. Stick around. Mike and I will tell you what we were driving this week and give you our thoughts on it. All to come on this week's edition of Let's Talk Wheels on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
It's Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. It's time for automotive reviews. Mike Herzing will have his here in just 1 second. But this week, I was driving around with a very nice vehicle. I am in love with the 2021 Hyundai Palisades. If you can afford to go all the way up to the top trim level, which they call calligraphy, it is worth it. It is a vehicle at around $50,000 sticker. You can get it for cheaper. And this is a three-row crossover SUV that shines. It is luxurious. It is comfortable. It has incredible features that I think are almost must-haves. The power seats in the third row are awesome. You can control the second row, the captain's chairs, from in the back in the cargo area. You got power everything throughout this vehicle. It rides really nice. You got a very nice heads-up display with this vehicle. It's got a great engine. It's very, very smooth. 291 horsepower, 3.8 liter V6, 8-speed automatic. It's soft, quiet, capable, and you can get standard all-wheel drive with this vehicle. The difference between the calligraphy and the other, the limited, it's only like $1,000. It's worth it. It's way worth it because of what you get with it. You get really nice rims, a really nice grill, some nice, you know, very unique features on the outside. They have like this line that goes around the outside of the lights. It just, and it goes on the back of the vehicle as well. It kind of just frames the vehicle in a really nice look. Like you see this thing and you're like, man, that thing looks really cool. It's got a rear spoiler, the interior. The only issue I've got with the interior, and it's gorgeous, I don't like push button drive, neutral, reverse, and park. I like having a gear shifter. That's my only thing, this little push button thing. But other than that, it's incredible. 10.3 inch touchscreen. It's got these really cool big puddle lamps that fall right down when you get in the vehicle. It knows when you walk around, it senses the key, so it pops up and the lights pop open so you can get like you're all around it. I mean, it's very comfortable to sit inside of this vehicle. It's, as I said, it's high up, so you get some really great sight lines on this vehicle. And you know, you get some leather door panels, you get some microfiber suede that's in there, and then you get the incredible warranty. You get the 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty from Hyundai, you get the 5-year, 60,000-mile warranty from Hyundai, and you get the 3 years, 36,000 miles of complimentary scheduled maintenance, all oil changes, entire rotations. You got the all-wheel drive, so it goes in terms of all weather. Now remember, you know, this is the same vehicle, but it's the nicer version of the Kia Telluride, which is a beast in the outside. I think this thing, I mean, for $50K, forget all the other competitors, okay? Forget where they are, because I think this comes in cheaper. It comes in a better price point. And the way this thing looks, it's just really big and bright. My only thing sometimes when it comes to these newer vehicles is that I often have a difficult time sometimes with Apple CarPlay, but it just sometimes it takes some time just to kind of get used to the quirkiness of it. But the nav screen's really, really big. I love the fact that these Hyundais, they've got this very cool digital display right where all your odometer is and your speedometer is. And when you change to different settings, to eco or to sport, it lights up in different colors. It does this whole like swimmy, like very cool thing. Like it goes all red and gets all like revved up for sport mode and then green for eco. It just looks really, really cool when you switch it around, which I absolutely love. I think it's really cool. And then when you turn, you've got cameras on the side of the vehicle that tell you if somebody's in your blind spot. So right there on the dash, right there where your odometer is, a little camera pops up and you can tell whether someone's on your right-hand side or not, which is so cool to do. It's a very simple thing, but it's a very cool thing as well. I think this vehicle is an absolute home run. I think if you can afford it, if you're in the market for an SUV at about $50,000, capability, comfort, luxury, really cool features, great, great bang for the buck, really big, legitimate third row. Okay. The third row can be adjusted. It can go forward and backwards. So you got some people in the back seat that are real adults. It can pull back. If you got kids and you need the cargo space for some stuff in the trunk, it slides forward. That's awesome. You can control the captain's chair, like I said, from the rear. So like you need to drop it down to really bring something big in there. You don't have to go and open the door and then drop the captain's chair down or move it. You just do it automatically with the power button. Awesome vehicle. Absolutely awesome vehicle. Huge, huge fan of the Hyundai Palisades calligraphy. Check it out for the 2021 version. It's worth your time if you're looking for a luxury, mid-luxury SUV, if you will, crossover SUV. All right, Mike, what were you driving this week?
This week I was driving the 2021 GMC Canyon AT4. Now, this is their off-road version. The AT4 is their whole kind of a brand, sub-brand, that is all about off-roading. Okay, this is their mid-size truck. It's got a nice 3.6-liter V6, runs great, 8-speed automatic. Awesome. This thing is set up for off-road. Mid-size truck. These are big trucks, really, but they're mid-size. They call them mid-size. It's got big 31-inch Goodyear Wrangler DuraTrack tires, 17-inch wheels, off-road tuned suspension, all the hill descent control and automatic locking differentials and all the skid plates and everything else and tow hooks and everything, all for off-roading, okay? Nice vehicle, okay? Base price on it is $40,000. The one that was loaded up to about 43 with a couple of goodies on it, but it was a real pretty red called a Cayenne red. Nice vehicle, like I said, plenty of room in it, even though it is mid-size. It's kind of a night. A lot of people will buy that. These things, I mean, the fuel economy is 24 highway, 17 city. So when you look at it, price and fuel economy is not much different than the full-size version. This is a vehicle you want to buy because you want a smaller truck. That's basically it. And this is the truck that people are going to buy that do a lot of off-roading and just adventure things, you know, that are very, you know, you can take it camping, you can tow a trailer with it, you can do all kinds of goodies, okay? Looks good, and the GMC looks so much better than the Chevy. I hate to say it because they're kind of cousins, but the interior stitching, the interior is nice. They kind of freshened it up last year, and it's really neat, okay? Got remote keyless entry, remote start, all those kind of goodies on it. It still has a key, though. Okay, which is kind of weird. You have to have a key to start it, which, you know, nowadays, if I'm spending $43,000, I'd rather have a key fob, but that's okay. They're old school, and a lot of people like a key, and that's cool, too. All kinds of safety features on this thing, but let's finish the interior. Leather-appointed seats, six-way power driver seat, four-way power passenger seat, all the airbags you want everywhere, power lumbar for the driver's seat. It's automatic air conditioning, soft touch instrument panel, all the goodies you want. This thing had a nav system and a nice little center console, center stack. It's all fits and it's all feels comfortable is the best part. It's one of those deals you can get in and go, okay, I know where everything is. And it's got OnStar, which is probably the neatest thing that GM ever came out with. You know, tilt wheel, telescoping wheel, steering wheel. A lot of the controls are on the wheel. This one had heated steering wheels and leather wrapped steering wheel and things like that. Like I said, this is made up for going off road. Had enough knobs. It didn't have just touchpad or any of that other stuff. This has real knobs and switches and things like that, which, you know, I'm just not into all this touchscreen stuff. I mean, some of it's okay. Little nice things like an auto dimming rearview mirror. It had this thing had a rear camera mirror, which was really handy. It has all the stability track and all the safety features you would want. Rear park assist. But the rear camera is really neat. I've kind of gotten so used to that. It's really neat. It has the teen driver set up, which is kind of cool. You can find out what your kid's doing. I'm glad I didn't have that when I was a kid. I would have been, you know, thrown in parent jail by any means. But this one had the upgraded infotainment system, which is about $1,000, with 8-inch diagonal colored touchscreen, voice recognition, Bluetooth, audio streaming, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto capable, all that good stuff, all the apps, had a Bose premium audio system, and they cost a little bit extra for the Cayenne red tricoat paint and a driver alert package, which is a lane departure warning and forward collision alert. This is a nice vehicle. Now, that $43,230 sticker, I mean, my gosh, you can get way off a sticker on this vehicle, but I enjoy it.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Welcome back, folks, to Let's Talk Wheels. Mike Herzing along with Matt Perrault. You know, we talked earlier about the show about some great news concerning the 2021 F-150, and we've got the F-150 marketing manager, Travis Calhoun, to talk about it. Hey, Travis, welcome back to Let's Talk Wheels.
Hey, thanks so much. I'm really excited to be here to talk to you the other day about the all-new 2021 F-150.
Yes, I know, and I hear the weather's actually been good up in the Detroit area lately.
We got a little bit of snow, yeah. They're definitely reminding us that it's winter.
So, all right, this F-150 got a big award the other day.
It did, yeah. We are the proud recipient of the North American Truck of the Year Award, which is a tremendous honor and something that I, not only on the marketing team, but also our partners at the UAW and our partners in the engineering team and our dealers across the country, couldn't be more proud to win.
You know, it is. I mean, what's funny is I had the new F-150 the other day, and it was a great vehicle. Don't get me wrong. I really liked it, but I didn't notice, and I know it's a new sheet. You know, we talked about 6 or 8 weeks ago with you, and you said it was a whole new sheet of paper and all the stuff and everything, but I drove it. I didn't notice a lot of stuff different about it, which I thought was a really good thing because I really liked the one before it. You know what I mean? And so I'm not big into change, but everything was just a little bit nicer on it.
You know, we made a very concerted effort to make enhancements where the customers would appreciate them. And so if it looks similar to the outgoing truck, that's because people told us that they loved the way that the current truck looked. And so we wanted to make sure that we made the new F-150 just even more F-150. So the best parts of the prior generation are what shines through on the new one.
Well, you know, you're right. And it drove really well. You know, I've got a bunch of friends that have F-150s, obviously, because it's number one selling truck by a lot. And, you know, they're all kind of torn. Some of them like the V6, and some of them still love the 5.0. I mean, that 5.0 is for guys that pull trailers a lot, they love the 5.0.
They do. Yeah, that 5-liter is a stalwart, that's for sure. But we now have 6 different engines that we're offering in the all-new F-150. So what? As you mentioned, we really try to pride ourselves on offering a truck for every customer and a powertrain for every customer to meet different specific needs. So that 5-liter V8 that you mentioned is how we deliver our best-in-class payload in the F-150 lineup. But we've now increased the maximum towing capability to be a best-in-class 14,000 pounds on the new F-150 using the 3.5-liter EcoBoost. That's been upgraded to 400 horsepower and 500 pound-feet of torque. So it's a very stout engine to make sure that we're delivering those capabilities.
That's crazy on a half-ton truck. That is absolutely bonkers.
That's not even the most that we're offering either, because we now we tried to change the game a little more by bringing a full hybrid engine into our lineup for the first time ever. Uh-huh. And with that new PowerBoost engine that we're offering, it starts with the same 3.5-liter V6 that the EcoBoost has, but it's made into that hybrid transmission that cranks up 430 horsepower and 570 pound-feet of torque. It's insane.
You know, I knew that cool thing about the hybrid is you can run all these power tools off of it or even your house, you know, and all those cool things. So tell folks how that works.
Sure, yeah. So one of the other advancements that we added to the new F-150 lineup, and it's not just on the hybrid, it's also available on the optional gas powertrains, is what we're calling Pro Power Onboard. So your truck can actually become a mobile generator without having to add a generator or take up that precious cargo space in the bed of your truck. We offer either 2 kilowatts of exportable power, which can run a pretty stout tailgate, or on that full hybrid engine, you can get up to 7.2 kilowatts, which is enough to power a very serious job site. That's the type of generator that some people use to power their homes.
Well, 7,200, watts is, I used a 5,000 watt during the last hurricane to run, all the refrigerators and some fans and things like that. With 7,200, we could possibly get a small air conditioner to start and make that work. So, it will really, really save somebody's butt. And now what happens when the battery runs down? Does the engine just start up?
Yeah, so it will shut down when the fuel gets low enough that you can still get to a gas station.
Oh.
So there is a cutoff on it that it will turn off. But the cool thing about it is, especially with that 7.2 kilowatt, is that the engine only turns on when the power draw requires it. So the truck goes into a generator mode and it will idle And it's super quiet since it is that hybrid. And when it does need to power on to generate enough energy to export to meet the 7.2, it does so automatically.
Well, yeah,
so you're, on the hybrid, your vehicle is not running the entire time that you're drawing power.
Well, you know, I'm sure that that 3.5 or even the 5 liter is so darn quiet, you forget it's even on.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah, the drive, the ride quality and the lack of noise in the cab is really impressive with this all new truck.
Well, I do notice that the interior's a lot different. Very nice. Very, very, very upscale. Of course, the one I had was the Platinum, of course. But it
You're slumming it, man. Yeah. Only a Platinum? You couldn't get you a Limited?
Oh, no, it's the Limited Hire. Oh, well.
No, I joke. The Platinum is a very incredible, very, very incredible, impressive truck. It's much richer than my blood. I can't drive one. Yeah. But it's an awesome, awesome truck. And as you mentioned, we did redesign the all-new interior with this redesign for the F-150. And it starts up front. We've got a completely digital display. So you can either get now an 8-inch screen is the smallest infotainment screen that we offer, or we offer a 12-inch screen now on about half of the lineup that's available on XLT and above. It's a really incredible system.
You know, if you use it for work or something like that, and you want half the split screen, half of it doing one thing and half of it doing the other, I think the 12 is great. But other than that, I've seen them with the 8 and the 12, and I almost like the 8 better because it didn't take up the whole center cluster. You know what I mean? But you know, the whole cluster was really nice, and it had a lot of, you know, the vehicle has a lot of, like a lot of the cars now, a lot of the vehicles nowadays. You know, people live in their trucks, especially in Texas and in the South here in the Southwest. But it's their, you know, there's little cubby holes for all your goodies, all your treasures. There's places to put, you know, pencils and this and that and files and just there's, because people end up with, I need a pocket knife, I need a flashlight, I need this or that. You're always somewhere on a job site or just at camping or this or that. And there's just so many places to put stuff and lose stuff. But there's just so many places.
You know, there are a lot of innovations in the trucks cut trucks today, and we continue the innovation in the current generation or the new 2021 F-150 as well. The center console actually has little notches on the inside when you open it up, and this goes for your customers listening now that have the current generation of F-150 also. Mm-hmm. That interior cab or interior console is the exact width to be able to hold standard file or hanging file folders,
right,
that actually slide right in there. So if you've got someone out there that's a construction worker, they can use a console for that. A lot of customers don't even realize that it's set up that way. It's really cool.
Yeah, and it's been set up that way for, gosh, 6 or 8, 10 years, I'm sure, isn't it?
Yeah, since the 09. Yeah. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and it's just, there's so many little things. Like I fold the tailgate down, and it's got a measuring, you know, there's a measuring bar there and all that stuff. Even if you're fishing, you can say, oh, well, this one's too short. You know, I better toss it back.
Yeah, measure twice, cut once has a new meaning on the tailgate, for sure. So with that interior tailgate work surface, we not only have a ruler built in, our two different rulers built in, we also have cup holders and tablet holders for watching how-to videos in the bed of your truck, or just having a place to set your cell phone. It's really an innovative solution. And then standard on every F-150 and 21 model year are new C-clamp pockets and additional tie-downs on the tailgate as well, so making sure for getting the job done at the business end of the truck, you've got solutions for that as well.
You know, I remember when trucks had 2 tie-downs, and then they had 4. And then now when you look at all these vehicles, you know, there's not a bad truck on the market. There's a couple of them I don't like. But
I mean, I like to think that we make a better one. But, yeah, I agree.
Everybody makes a good truck. I'm not saying, I didn't say everybody made a great truck. There's a couple of companies that I surprisingly don't do well, but most of those are imports. But the whole point, it's just that you guys have done so well. You make a truck for everybody. I mean, you make the, you know, the 150, 250, 350, 450, 550, you know, 650, and go on. You know, I mean, you can use the same technology in all of these, can't you?
In some cases, yeah. So with the big distinction between the F-150 and Super Duty is the electric power assisted steering. Mm-hmm. As the Super Duty doesn't offer EPAS on it, we have a different solution for that. So some of our driver assistance technologies take a little more engineering or a little more ingenuity to get into the Super Duty product. But generally, yes, we try to bring a lot of the same technologies and features across the truck lineup to meet the needs of customers across all industries.
I noticed driving it that it was on the highway, some of the driver assistance technologies, the lane keeping assist and the adaptive cruise control and all stuff, just seem a little bit more refined to work a little bit better. Is that did y'all change them around?
Yeah, they've all been enhanced for the all-new 2021. So starting with the adaptive cruise control is now intelligent. so we can read street signs. So, Mike, if you're a guy that's a 5 mile an hour or 10 mile an hour over the speed limit kind of driver, as the speed limit changes on you, your truck will recognize that and then drop to the new speed limit, but maintaining the same premium that you had previously. So it's one step further on that adaptive cruise control. Auto hold is now standard on all F-150s. So if you come to a stop, you can take your foot off the brake and the vehicle will stay in a stop position until you touch the gas.
Wow.
There's 10 or 12 new driver assistance features with it. But one of the ones I'm really excited about is one that we're offering called Active Drive Assist. So that's our hands-free driving capability where you'd be able to take your hands off the wheel, similar to GM's Super Cruise or mm-hmm. Tesla's Autopilot, and the truck will do the driving for you. It's the first time that that technology has been available in the truck segment, and we're really excited to bring it out.
Now, you can only do that for how many seconds will the government let you do that?
Well, this one, so we haven't released the software for it yet. So customers can actually purchase the hardware now, and then we'll release the software for it in Q3. Mm-hmm. But there are two cameras that pay attention to the driver. So as long as you're paying attention and have your head in the right position and your eyes on the road, it will continue to maintain that driving for you.
That's kind of handy because there are sometimes you're distracted and you know. I mean, that's what's nice about adaptive cruise control and some of the lane keeping is maybe I'm distracted or something and I know it and I'm trying to pay attention. But I'm really knowing my heart. I'm really not paying the attention I really need. And this covers my butt. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's an extra set of eyes. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
For sure.
And there's something, you know, if I'm trying to open up a candy bar or I'm doing this or that, and I've got this adaptive thing on, if some idiot hits the brakes in front of me, it's going to stop for me. And that's the nice part about it.
Yeah, that automated emergency braking is a real advancement that I'm proud to have on every F-150.
Now, the speed limit... you know, where it notices the speed limit and drops it when you need to and on the cruise control, that's going to cost a lot of little speed trap municipalities a lot of money because you're going to slow down, right?
Yeah, well, your truck will if you don't. So that's the good news.
That's
so, yeah,
the best
sure
part.
Keeping everyone safe on the road.
All right, now we're running a little bit out of time. So tell us, what are some of the big features we want everybody to pay attention to?
Well, with this all-new F-150, we're billing it as the toughest, most productive F-150 ever and the most connected F-150 ever as well. So an all-new redesigned truck from the inside and out. You've got 11 different grills that are all new, 13 different wheel options to make sure you can get your truck dialed in exactly how you want it to look. We've got 6 different powertrains on it, including that all-new full hybrid engine that we talked about. It's really a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is it offering the most horsepower and torque in our lineup, but the EPA gave it a rating of 24, 24, 24 on the 4x4 version. So
wow.
That's 24 miles per gallon in the city, highway, and combined, which is very impressive for a full-size pickup. And then additionally, we've added a ton of new ingenious features to help make sure our customers remain the most productive that they can while they're on the job or using their truck recreationally. So be that the interior or exterior work surfaces, standard modem that's available to not only provide vehicle diagnostics, but prognostics as well.
Mm-hmm.
We can tell you before something could potentially go wrong to make sure to keep your vehicle on the road. Yeah, it's really awesome. And we're really really trying to make sure that this truck continues to stay on the forefront of technology and gets better with time.
All right, man. It sounds like a neat base for a whole new generation of trucks. Travis, this is really, I mean, I'm impressed, buddy.
Well, thanks, Mike. We really appreciate the time, and thank you so much for having us.
Folks, thanks for joining us, Travis. This was Travis Calhoun from our friends at Ford. Hey, guys, don't go away. There's still more to come, including our weekly Classic Car segment with Jeremy Barenbaum from Classic.com. All of this and more right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Go check us out on social media by searching Let's Talk Wheels. Facebook and Instagram, you can find pictures and other things of the vehicles Mike and I drive each and every week. But you talked to our friend Jeremy Barenbaum from Classic.com, yep. Right, for the podcast?
Yep. Yeah, sure did. We got a lot of neat stuff. They got a lot of new cars on their site. Everything's selling like crazy. We talk about some trends. We talk about when you're storing your car, what are some of the things you need to watch out for. We got a lot of stuff. Covered a lot of stuff.
So it's new cars, but old cars. So new cars that are old, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
New cars on the site having the old cars on the site that you can go see.
Well, the problem is classic cars, a lot of times people let them sit for 6 months or 3 months or something like that. And there's unique problems with classic cars. There really are.
Absolutely. Yeah, engine problems and animals and things that you know, you can be part of it. You can be careful.
Brakes.
Yeah,
brakes, tires, stuff like that. Sure.
Absolutely. Windshield wipers and all sorts of fun, all sorts of things that can happen when your vehicle is sitting around. So go check that out where you get your podcast. Search Let's Talk Wheels. You can find that conversation with Jeremy Barenbaum and Mike from classic.com, Jeremy Barenbaum. And we are back next week. Same place, same time. It is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
Welcome, everybody, to the Let's Talk Wheels Classic Car segment. As usual, we got our good friend, resident car guru, Jeremy Barenbaum from classic.com on the line. Jeremy, how's it been out there in L.A. this week?
Oh, it's going really well. You know, we got some new cars listed on our auction website this week, and, you know, sun is shining. It's been going great.
Awesome. Now, you were telling me the other day you started to pull out your 55 Ford F1 out. So what's going on there?
Yeah, so, you know, I went to pull it out of the garage, and I was working with my dad, and normally when we pull stuff or move cars around that haven't been started in a while, kind of to make sure it's a two-man team, and that's because, you know, there's always issues that arise from some of these cars that haven't been driven in a while, mm-hmm. and one of them that I wanted to bring up with you is I sprayed some... what do you call it? Engine starting fluid in my carburetor.
Uh-huh.
And it backfired, and I had a little fire come out of the top of my carburetor.
Yep.
And sometimes, you know, you panic, and you go, oh, what do I do? I just took a rag that I had, and I went to try and suffocate the fire. And that actually worked for me. But sometimes that's not the best solution.
Now, if it was a wet rag, that might have been better. But you're right. You're right. Sometimes, you know, when you got a classic car or something like that, or like it's like the boys at Baja, when they're doing Baja, you've got a fire extinguisher, a small one. Doesn't need a big one, just a small fire extinguisher, kind of ready. You know what I mean? And because you never know where you're going to get a carburetor leak, you're going to have something, a hose line, you know, because a lot of problems are, is a lot of these hoses on these things, let's say you haven't, maybe the vehicle was, you know, maybe... you know, restored 10 years ago, and they put all these new fuel lines and things like, well, alcohol in the fuel destroys fuel lines. Not only that, and actually the metal fuel lines, it corrodes, but the rubber fuel lines, they just get destroyed. So they'll crack, they'll start leaking, parts, the gaskets on the carburetor from actually when letting the vehicle sit, they shrink. So all these little O-rings and things will start leaking for no reason, especially like accelerator pump and things like that. My vehicle, they put a whole carburetor on it, and all it needed was an accelerator pump. You know, the rubber on it started leaking. So every time you hit the gas accelerate, it would squirt fuel onto the intake. And so that's not always a good thing. So, you know, people go out and rebuild, you know, rather than just replacing the, you know, taking the carb off and replacing some of the O-rings and the accelerator pump and all stuff, which just cost you about $20. They go out and spend $200 on another carb. And so that's – people understand that classic cars are a different deal. I mean, that's how you and I met. We're talking about storing classic cars. I wrote an article about it, and you contacted me. And but, you know, people understand classic cars are a whole different animal. You may not drive one for 6 months. And what other car vehicle that somebody owns, it's not going to be driven for 6 months?
Yeah, you know, you think about it like your body and how you feel when you start up in the morning and you need a stretch, you need a minute and possibly some coffee, you know. Those are all things that, you know, a classic car needs even extra time before you hit the road. You got to let the motor warm up. Like we were talking about off air, sometimes you have some issues with the brakes mm-hmm. because you said the fluid is, can you say the word again? I can't
Hygroscopic. It absorbs moisture. Brake fluid absorbs moisture.
So you have all these things that you need to check and make sure are okay. Usually it's good to have a buddy with you during that process. You know, just like when I started the motor, if it didn't catch on fire, at least I have someone looking there to tell me if it's leaking onto the intake manifold, you know, because those are the little things when you're by yourself, you know, getting in and out of the car, running back and forth, those extra seconds could make the difference between hopefully your car not catching on fire.
Well, yeah, or if it's just even a small fire, but it's going to damage all the plug wires and things like that. You're right. You're absolutely right. But, you know, a lot of times people don't understand. Like I had a friend, she has a 35 Chevy, and it's kind of a hot rod. It's got a small block Chevy engine in it and, I think a Mustang 2 rear end and all this kind of stuff, automatic transmission. But she hasn't driven it in about 8 months. You know, she had some kind of surgery or whatever. So the whole point of foot surgery. So she goes to pull it out, and she drives it, and the brakes, one of the brakes, it just they're skidding, they're sliding everywhere. And I goes, what's up? I said, because one of the brakes, the wheel cylinders are frozen up. It's not – this brake is not working back here. Oh, okay. And – or it jerks to one side because one of the front wheel cylinders is frozen. So people understand that changing the brake fluid – you don't even if you did nothing more than get a turkey baster and suck the fluid out of the master cylinder and put in fresh, it'd be better than nothing. But if you just did that, put in fresh, and then went around to each one of the wheels and cracked the bleeder open for, you know, a minute, let it just gravity bleed, that would be much better than nothing. You know what I mean? That would be awesome, actually. If you want to pump it a few times and get some of the – till the fresh fluid comes through, that would be really awesome. Then you're good for two more years, you know. Until, but even on your new cars, people understand a lot of these manufacturers will tell you after 24 months, something like that, you need to replace the brake fluid because I was reading something from one of the brake fluid companies that after 18 months, your vehicle can have up to 10% water in your hydraulic system, you know, in your brakes. So
that's crazy. And when you go to step on the brakes in an emergency and you get that extra sponginess.
Right.
That's where it's coming from.
Well, also, when the brake fluid gets hot, it steams and releases oxygen and things. So you end up getting a spongy pedal. But water in the brake fluid makes it worse. But also, the corrosion is brutal.
So, you know, that's an interesting point. So is it better then to just drain your whole brake lines or drain all your brake lines and fill them back up if your car's been sitting for more than maybe 2 years?
Yes, that's probably a great idea. But first of all, you need to make sure if you've got any frozen wheel cylinders already. You know, that's the whole point. Just, you know, if it's been sitting 2 or 3 years, which a lot of these cars are, you know, somebody may inherit it from somebody. It's a barn find or this or that. Odds are they're going to be frozen. I had my Jeep. I was doing a bunch of work on it. I had some body work and things like that. So I didn't really drive it for over a year. And when I did go to drive it, it had a two frozen up wheel cylinders. So basically, diagonally, like the left front and right rear worked, and the right front and left rear didn't. You know, and it wasn't going to have to do with the brake system. It just had to do with they were corroded. And the other ones didn't work very well. So I had to take it all apart, replace the wheel cylinders and everything, and I put in fresh fluid. And I make sure to every few months to go out, you know, even if I'm working on it, like right now I've got the steering box taken out, I will go back and make sure I use the brakes and get that stuff moved a little bit because I don't want to have to mess with that again.
Yeah, we hear stories all the time even of, you know, like clutch pressure plates kind of mating – to the motor just from sitting for so long, and you have to tell people like, hey, you almost want to just stall your car out and get the two to disengage from each other. You know, there's all these little things that people think, oh, I'm parking my car, I'm leaving it. So, you know, turn the key off, and then it's like nothing ever happens for a year, 2 years. You know, people think they come back to their car, and it's just the way they left it, which is not typically the case.
Well, you know, a lot of areas, if you have a high humidity, like a lot of tractors will have a thing where you a little lever that you can push the clutch in, hold this lever, and it holds the clutch engaged. And that way the pressure plate doesn't freeze up to anything, okay, because it may have gone through water. I've had people that used to drive through high water that had regular cars. They'd drive through high water, no big deal, and they had drum brakes. And they would park their vehicle and put on the parking brake. Cool, like they always did. Well, they'd go back 3 days later, and the car wouldn't move because the brake shoes have bonded to the brake drum. They've rusted to the brake drum because the metal and the metallic particles in the brake shoes. So then we would have to just destroy the brake panels and everything just to get the drums off. It's a nightmare, but classic cars are like a whole – the people that work on classic cars have to have a different mindset. And they've got to understand, yeah, I've got to, like you said, I can't just go in and start it up and put it in gear and back away. I've got to let the vehicle warm up. I've got to make sure I have no leaks, especially if I haven't. Now, if I've driven it 2 weeks ago, that's one thing. But I haven't driven it for 6 months or something, I've got to go back and make sure I have no, you know, gaskets leaking, fuel or something like that. That's the stuff that people may not, you have to treat them differently, right?
Yeah, on classic cars, I mean, we see more problems from cars that sit than from people that are driving their cars and stuff breaking from general wear and tear. You know, everyone's so excited to find a barn find or a car that hasn't been on the road in 20 years. But for me, I'd almost rather find something that someone's driven and it has 200,000 miles because the car's going to drive better, it's going to perform better because it's being used daily or, you know, weekly versus something that's been sitting for so long that you're going to have to go through every system on that car and make sure it's up to date.
I remember finding a lady with a Plymouth come in my shop, you know, like 10 or 12 years ago, that had a 20-year-old vehicle that her grandmother owned. It was a Plymouth something or other, and it only had 18,000 miles on it. It was 22 years old, had 18,000 miles on it. It was the biggest piece of crap I've ever seen. The engine had to be gone through. The transmission had to be gone through. The wheel cylinders, all the hydraulics. It was terrible from sitting.
And please, anyone who's got their car sitting for more than 18 months, please check the tires. Make sure they're not cracked. I've seen treads just fully peel off of tires just from, right. you know, and they're not even that old, but they've been sitting in the same place for so long. Right. And you think of tires almost like a kitchen sponge. And if it doesn't get a little bit of moisture and use in it, it gets all cracky and hard, and it'll never come back.
Absolutely. Even though maybe only 6 or 8 years old, if you leave it in the same spot, that's one of the things I said about storing a classic car. Put it up on blocks. Take the pressure off the suspension. That'll work. All right, we're running out of time, Jeremy. Tell you about, why don't we talk about this maybe next week a little bit and finish this off. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
All right, folks, thanks for tuning to the podcast today. If you've got any car questions, email me, info@letstalkwheels.com. We'll work to get everybody an answer. Remember, you can find us on our website, letstalkwheels.com, on Facebook, Instagram. We're all over the place. You can also tell your friends about the podcast if you have any friends. I don't, but and Jeremy has one, I think. But ask them to subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. On behalf of Matt Perrault, Jeremy Berenbaum, our producer Jack McCraw, and myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us today on the Let's Talk Wheels radio podcast. I'm Mike Herzing, and as always, happy motoring.